The Making Of is sponsored by Missoma.
Every piece of a woman's jewellery tells part of her story. Earrings she bought with her first paycheck, a pick-me-up present from her best friend after a crappy breakup, the matching bracelets they got on that wild holiday, her 18th birthday, her 30th birthday, an anniversary gift she'll never forget. From past loves to career milestones, from morning to night, we wear our treasured moments, whatever shape or size. And Missoma is here for all those moments. They're on a mission to build a more confident, creative and collaborative world, starting a chain reaction, one link at a time. Make your moments last forever with Missoma and get an exclusive 15% by using Make15 now on Missoma.com.
Welcome to The Making Of, a podcast from the female lead. I'm Bea Appleby, and in this series, I'll be talking to some of my favourite women about the moments that have made them. The highs, the lows, the life lessons, but I promise we won't call them journeys. My guest today is the very funny and very thought-provoking Lucy Davis.
Having spent most of my life as a people pleaser, it doesn't really do anyone else any good, because the people who respond to that are the people really who are the takers. And so in order to have an equal, fair exchange in any friendship that you have, you have to have boundaries. I have a lot less friends now, but I'm much happier.
Lucy is best known as Dawn from the British TV show The Office. She then went on to star in movies like Shaun of the Dead, Wonder Woman, and now lives in LA, having broken America and starring in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We talked about pivotal moments in Lucy's life, which has involved some setbacks, including a kidney transplant and recovering from an eating disorder. In our conversation, we talk about disordered eating in some detail, so that's something to bear in mind if you're going through it right now. Lucy has really leaned into the spiritual side of her life, which is new ground for this podcast, and we talked about positive thinking, healing and gratitude. So it's a bit of a different conversation for our last of the series, but it really made me think about the power of the mind. I hope you enjoy it. So here we go. Lucy Davis, welcome to the Female Lead podcast.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about pivotal moments in your life, the moments that have made you, chosen by you. And let's just get started. So the first moment that you sent me was hitting your lowest point with an eating disorder in 2011.
Yes.
So what was happening at this point? Tell me about it.
I was getting divorced.
I did read that. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there,
Lucy.
That was a treat,
wasn't it? But, you know, I don't think I'd realised that most of my life had been an eating disorder, because for a lot of it, I hadn't done the behaviours, the extreme behaviours that you see until my separation. For me, bulimia and anorexia came in for two reasons. The anorexia, because I felt that came first. I felt like I had no control over anything else that was going on, and I had such fear. But for some reason in my head, and I realized I've had this all my life, I felt like being thin equaled the answer to any issue that you were having. And thankfully today, it's so lovely to see things changing and people understanding mental illness, because I didn't at the time. But the anorexia was about control for sure. And of course, when you do that, you're doing it in ways, I'm not even going to use the word unhealthy, but just ways that don't serve you at all. And personally, I don't think I did look good, whatever that means. And I don't wish to be that weight again. The bulimia began because, and I was visiting friends in London and I couldn't stop eating. And it was just, I remember, it's so silly, this side of it. I was so scared of putting weight on. And now when you say those words, they seem so weird and alien. And I remember every day was going to be the new day, was going to be the different day. And I remember going to several different stores because I didn't want to buy everything I wanted to eat in front of one person, especially because I get recognized in England more than here in Los Angeles. And I'd had a lot of stuff with press continually. I was never the right weight. There isn't one, but there, I was never for them the right. It was too fat or too thin. And there's no blame. And in fact, if anything, whatever leads you to that terrible point, if you can make it your turning point, then I can be very thankful to all those people who might have put me there. But I remember being in London and buying all this food and going back to my hotel room and eating all this food. I was so ill from the fullness I was feeling. And I remember the thought came into my head to throw it up for no other reason than I'll just get it out because I can't move. And I threw it up, and what I wasn't prepared for was this fabulous high and the fact that my genes felt different. And it was so good. And I was in London for another week, and I remember thinking, okay, well, I know this isn't good and you shouldn't do this. So let's just do it this week. We'll make it your London thing. It was kind of reminded me of that Friends episode where Chandler and Monica get together and they're like, it's just a London thing. Mm. But then when they're on the plane, it's like, well, and then in New York, they're like, well, we're still on London time. And I kind of did that journey. And I went and threw up in the plane, and I was like, oh, what if someone's heard me? So I came out of the flight, and if anyone was around, I was like, oh, I made a thing of like, oh God, oh, feel a bit sick, must have eaten something weird, you know. And then I got back to LA, and of course it didn't stop. It didn't take long before I couldn't throw up anymore for at least an hour after I'd eaten. And you realize what the addiction is, because it was no longer helping me lose weight, but I still couldn't not do it. So, and then it was like, okay, it's not now I've eaten a huge meal, it's now I've eaten an apple. And the day I stopped was the day my brother called me out on it, and he was in recovery for other things. He came around one day and I had burst a blood vessel in my eye from throwing up the day before. And he's so smart, my brother, and he's so kind and non-judgmental. And he said, can I ask you if you've been throwing your food up? And I went, no. And then I went, okay, yeah. Because he was probably the one person I would never have lied to. And he went, okay. He said, well, I'm here when you're ready. And I didn't throw up from that day on, but it was like white knuckling it. And then about a month later, I went into rehab and for PTSD and for my eating disorder. Day one of going in, it was my brother who'd got me in. He'd kind of done an intervention on me. And I was like, huh, shoot, I know how this works. I can't say no because I look like I'm in denial. And I remember packing a bag and my dog could go with me. So I was really glad. But I remember doing myself up to the nines because I thought that I would walk in there and people would go, well, she looks really well. So I don't know what she's doing here. It was just like this embarrassment and shame. Also, because I wasn't in there because of drug addiction, I felt like, or alcohol addiction, I felt like I was a fraud and people were going to be like, what are you doing here? Like, God, you don't have anything serious. And I totally get with eating stuff that it doesn't seem the same. And I do understand that. And I struggled with that. But this isn't about comparison in any way, but with eating disorders, you still have to use your drug of choice every day and then stop.
I mean, yeah, I've read that so many times that it's like, it's not like something that you can just give up and then distance yourself from for the rest of your life.
And I know that that's not easy either. I'm not trying to in any way diss anyone else's journey because it's hard for everybody. I mean, I'm a fan of therapy, but I no longer do it. I don't see, for me, the purpose of continually going back. If you want to have freedom emotionally, you have to take accountability for yourself. It's not about shame. It's just responsibility And the more you say, well, this is my parents' fault because of this, or this is my teacher's fault, what do you get from that except annoyance? So yeah, for me, going back, I don't go back and talk about the stories, apart from here, obviously.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
Thanks, B.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Well... You're in the office. Do you get that a lot? That you were in the British office? Okay. That I won't.
That's good. Better mine.
Thank you. Thank you. So at that point, so how did you come out of it then? That happened. You're in rehab. And then how did you move on?
One of the things that I try to remember now, if ever I'm having a bad day, if a moment comes up that is unwanted, try not to resist it. Whether you say God, universe, source, whatever you want to do, I'm a universe person.
Source. Like HP. Because I love condiments, so I could say that.
You pray to your condiments, B.
Mayonnaise for me.
Sauce, S-O-U-R-C-E.
Oh, sauce. Okay, got it.
Oh, God. I'm never going to say it again because I'm just going to be hungry.
Yeah. Okay, so sauce with the O-U-R.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you get a difficult moment come up, if you can just try to stop being in resistance to it, which is hard, and I'm not great at that. Mm. But to remember that usually it's something that's shifting you to another path that actually is going to be way more beneficial for you than the one you adamantly and stubbornly are trying to stay on. But actually, when the shit stuff comes up, it's kind of, I'm much better now at going, okay, this is exciting. What's it going to mean? And so far, I can't remember a time when it hasn't been for a better reason.
Now, the second moment you gave me was getting let go from a TV job in 2012.
Oh, yes.
What TV job was this? And how did it shape you? Tell me all about it.
2012 was short, not that long after recovering in rehab and divorcing and all of this kind of stuff. And I got a pilot. I was so happy. You know, like after all of this had happened and there'd been like 5 years that had been extremely difficult to get this pilot, I felt like, you know, as you do as humans, like it's a new start. And I was so happy. And it was a comedy, a multicam comedy. And I'd worked on it for maybe 2 weeks. And I was struggling a little on it. I'm not great at the multicam stuff, you know, live audience stuff. And then on the Friday night, we did a full wardrobe makeup rehearsal in front of a live audience, not for taping, just to do the rehearsal. And then after that, it was like 10 o'clock at night. We were all told to go into our individual dressing rooms and stay there. I don't know why they didn't let us go home, no idea. And they had PAs stationed outside our dressing room doors so that nobody could come out. And I realized that the network and the studio were on the stage discussing the whole thing. Why we couldn't have gone home, I've no idea. So about 11:30, we were told we could go. And I was driving home and I get a call from the showrunners and the creators of the show. And they said, I'm sorry, the network has cut the roll. And I got let go. I went home, I was like, broke. Because I was still quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
There. It would have been horrible now.
It's horrible to anyone, surely.
It's horrible to anyone.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, and people were going, oh, it won't be personal. And I was like, but you know, it might be, and I don't know. And the point is, you can't unless they're going to tell you differently, you've kind of got to get on with it. And I decided to write to the showrunners selfishly just to have some closure on it, because I was pretty broken. And I just said, you know, I can't pretend that I'm not devastated, but here's what the last 2 weeks have meant for me. And as I was writing, I felt easier enlisting what I'd got from the 2 weeks. And it was so great because I felt genuinely pleased, but it was a hard experience. But again, another that moved me on to my journey, because your choices in that moment are to feel crap and stay in the crap and blame. I had a couple of people email me in the business who knew what happened. Like, how, this is awful. How dare they? Their loss. And I was like, I don't know that it is their loss. They're still successful people. It's okay. And you don't need to make me feel better by putting someone else down. And we do that so much in life. We forget that we can lift ourselves up without making ourselves feel better just because we feel better than. And so I said to her, I said, I'm really okay with it, actually. I'm sorry to not be in it, but it's okay. I'll live. We'll all live. So it was the next step for that journey. My next step after that was I discovered Hay House, and it's full of different speakers, you know, motivational speakers or whatever. And it's not something I necessarily listen to now, but it was a great starting point for me. And I went to a seminar in Denver, Colorado, a whole weekend by myself, where I just attended a different lecture after a different lecture. And I had some really cool experiences. I'm going to say supernatural, but I use that word loosely because I don't really know what that means or what they are, just unexplained things. Mm-hmm. And then I did a course called The Reconnection for healing. And I use that word lightly. And it was a fascinating journey to do that with these people that I met. And so everything really started from that point of divorce and bulimia. Having spent most of my life as a people pleaser, it doesn't really do anyone else any good, because the people who respond to that energetically are the people really who are the takers. And so in order to have an equal, fair exchange in any friendship that you have, you have to have boundaries, for want of another overused word, but you have to know what they are for you and be okay. I have a lot less friends now, but I'm much happier and more authentic, and I wouldn't exchange that for the world.
Let's go on to the third point, which you gave me, which was getting Wonder Woman.
Why I choose that moment was because in talking about this journey, I came to and doing the Hay House, and I decided to take what I liked and ignore the rest. Just you don't have to believe everything everyone says, what works for you. And so when the Wonder Woman audition came, and it had been a few years since I'd worked properly, worked in anything big for all the reasons really I've just said, I decided to refuse to allow myself in any way to put thought on anything that didn't feel brilliant. I literally was like adamant that if any negative thought came in, out, like a new muscle, do anything to feel a bit better in this moment. That can be saying, okay, I'm really loving the pillow I lie on. I have 10 fingers and toes. It can be tiny things. It doesn't have to be, I got an Oscar today. It can be tiny, tiny things, and it's so vital. But the gratitude list really is about, it's selfish because it's about changing what happens for you. So me sitting here right now going, okay, I'm really enjoying this chat with B. My dog is here, who I love. It's nice and peaceful. My AirPods didn't work, but it doesn't matter because I can hear you. I've got a lovely cup of Yorkshire Gold.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can find anything. Yeah. You have to practice it. My whole life started to change. Little things like I found a parking space everywhere, or little things that might ordinarily annoy me became fun. I can't really explain it better than that. But then I got Wonder Woman, and it was about 3 weeks into it. And lots of people can easily say, well, that's just because you got the role. Sure, and it really may be. But what I do know isn't a coincidence is that I felt better. And unless you make that your priority, I don't know what good comes from it.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just want to take a minute to tell you a bit more about The Female Lead. We're a charity founded by Edwina Dunn, exploring the factors that limit women's success and fulfillment. By listening to women and understanding them through research and data, we aim to influence businesses and government to drive real change. We're passionate about telling women's stories, and that's what this podcast is all about. So please do rate and subscribe at the end. It will really help us to continue our work and tell more women's stories. So the next moment you gave me was, so this was after Wonder Woman, and then everything just started to,
right,
I guess, get better.
Yeah.
And then number four, you said, was doing healing sessions with people. And what happened there?
I went to Miami on my own for a week, such a lovely week there. And I did this course, and I was positive that whatever else was happening, I wasn't able to do it. I refused to say something's happening if I don't think that it is for me. I basically couldn't feel anything, and I really loved the week, but I did not think anything was happening. So I went home, and I was flying back from Miami to LA. It's about a five, 6 hour flight. And there was a guy coming on next to me. I thought I had this two seats to myself, but this guy came on, and he was probably like 60 or something. And he had a cane, a walking cane, and was clearly not super well. And there was just a little thing in my head of, oh, that's funny. I don't think I can do the healing, and you've put someone clearly physically unable next to me. So about halfway through the flight, I noticed this man like proper, and he didn't speak great English, and he was putting his head in his hands and moaning a lot. And I was like, oh God, we're gonna need a doctor for him. And I was like, are you okay? Can I do anything? And he said, he kept saying, my head, and he went like this. He went 6 days, and he couldn't get up for the bathroom without his cane and without two of the guys pulling him up from the chair. And I don't, because this wasn't me then. And I ended up going, well, I've just done this course. It's like a healing course. I don't know. Do you want me to, should I do something? And I was so annoyed with myself for speaking these words. I was like, what are you doing? And he looked at me like, you know, the crazy lady that's he's sat next to on the plane. And he went, okay. And he went to like give me his head. And I went, no, it's okay. I can just do it around your hand. And I'm dying. Because there's like another 2.5 hours to go. So he put his hand out, and I did what I learned. And I went around the hand and in my head, I'm like, no, I'm not feeling anything. And he went, I don't feel anything. I was like, yeah. And I maybe did it for 10 minutes, which was a long time, but I stopped because I was so embarrassed. And that was it. And about, I don't know, 15 minutes later, he went, it has gone. And I went, I tried to seem like this is all normal. I went, good. And I turned around and I thought, this must be a flu. Then later on, he got up for the bathroom, didn't have his cane. No one picked him up off the seat. I don't understand to this day what that was. To this day.
You're not making any claims that or anything other than this happened, and it could be something that has happened in his mind. It could be something that has happened in his body. You don't know anything.
I have no idea that in all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I've now done it, patterns I notice are the people I like to work with the most selfishly or egoically is people who come who don't believe in this. They have the best results.
Let's move on to your last moment.
Yes.
Last moment is many examples in your life where you've, this is what you wrote, many examples in your life where you finally left a toxic situation after too long, only then to discover that great things come into your life once you leave.
That's the best lesson I've learned in my life. And there's no point in regrets, but it would have been nice to figure that out earlier. There's a lot of situations, relationships that I knew weren't right and I stayed in. For a long time in my life, I think I didn't see the way out. I didn't feel like there was a way out. Whereas now at 48, there's always a way out. And sometimes it's Sophie's choice. But if you don't take that better, even if it's 1% better option for you, when you take that 1% better option, suddenly it doesn't go up 1%. It goes up 10 and 50 and 80. There's two situations I'm specifically thinking of where I did not think I could leave. And now that sounds ridiculous to me, where I've come now, but I think many people are in that situation. When I have, everything moves again. Everything, every time. I can't believe it. To the point where if I think things are slowing down, momentum's slowing down a bit, I'm like, what can I get rid of? because it's always worked so well. Whether it's a friendship, a relationship with a guy, whether it's a job, whether it's anything, if you can embrace it.
Do you feel like when you leave something that's toxic, that everything starts to move again, or when you get from A to Z quicker? I think what I'm saying is why.
You mean why? Yeah.
Yeah.
You out, but watching it
why fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm going to answer you in the long form, but the short form is I don't know.
Okay. End of podcast.
What was the question? Why? That's it.
Why?
Yeah.
Is it
sauce
again?
Is it sauce? I should get paid by HP.
Yeah, you should.
At this point. My theory behind it for today is that, going back again to law of attraction, when I've got rid of some toxic relationships, whether that's friends or whoever, when I've got those out of my life, different people come in.
And now you have me.
You see, B, this is the thing that I got from today. This is the thing, the joy that I have.
I hope you had a good time. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this, please do rate and subscribe. We'll be back next week with another brilliant woman's story. If you want to know more about The Female Lead, please check out our website at thefemalelead.com, or our Instagram, or our Twitter, or Facebook, or TikTok, or LinkedIn, you name it, we're there for you. See you next time.